Welcome to the last elective. How many of you went to 5 electives? Wow! It's amazing. And this elective is Transform Yesterday's Sunday School in Today's Disciple-Making Experiences. My name is Roger Timer. I am a children's pastor and a pastor of a local church. Also, I do some children's ministry consulting and am a director of Kids Count Ministries, which is part of our church's way of resourcing and sharing ministry with other churches as well. I've been a children's pastor for 17 years, and part of our story is that for my doctoral work, I dabbled with the idea of developing an inductive Bible study technique in small groups for children using creative multisensory learning experiences. And in so doing, I had to test how this model worked in the church, and in collecting a sampling of, I think it was 15 churches who tested it, we found ourselves supplying those churches after the testing period with children's ministry material. Well, that got us a little bit behind, so we said we better develop a way to distribute it better and produce it a little bit better, and it kind of pushed us into a ministry of resourcing, which became a mission arm of our church, King of Kings Church in Omaha, Nebraska, and our mission arm was called Kids Count Ministries, Kids Count Publishing. And since then, we have published 10,000 pages of children's ministry materials, as well as Faith at Home materials from age birth through grades 12, and a variety of equipping materials. And there is a Kids Count India now, and other translations works around the country. Now, I am not just talking about my stuff today. I'm talking about principles. But I do want you to know that if I can resource you in any way, it's out of a heart of resourcing, not out of advocating sales, though our resource company is online, and there is a booth, and it does resource as with to the minimal cost we can make it. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. What's your story? I hope you've had a great, great, great experience here. Let's kind of find out who we have here. First of all, how many people here were in the intensive? Because I see some of them with me. The intensive with me? Okay, there you go, too. Okay, so you're going to get a little bit of Pete and repeat today, but I can't remember what I said then, and I soon will not be able to remember what I said now, so I think they'll be kind of new. How many people here are staff children's ministry directors full-time? Real deal. Actually, the real deal's the full-time volunteer. We're all shining their shoes in heaven, and then collectively, we're all shining nursery workers' shoes. We know what really counts. We know this is the most labor-intensive ministry and one of the most understaffed and underappreciated ministries in the church, and it's also in the kingdom of God at the very top of the list. So let's never whine about it. Never. We are privileged to serve children. There is no higher calling in the church, period. Whew, that feels good. Now, who else do we have here? How many people are a volunteer point lead for children's ministry in your church? Fantastic. Now, how many people also oversee more than just children's ministry, but they're a point lead for other ministries such as family ministry or another? Wow, some busy people here. And, by the way, I should tell the recording that each one of these, we've had probably about, I'd say 15% of the, each time I've called a group, about, so it seems to me like we're widely distributed. How many people here are a You're a worker bee in children's ministry. You're just there. Thank you. Thank you. We, one kid, my friend up here raised his hand like this because he's afraid I'm going to ask him to volunteer for something else. But he would do it, I'm sure. Now, who else is here I'd like to recognize you to? I've kind of done some categories in children's ministry, but who else is here from different areas? Yes, what's your area?
Youth pastor.
Youth pastor, fantastic. We love you, youth pastors, and we want to work better with the team ministries. Anything else? Yes? Youth leader, thank you. All right. What do we expect out of our session today? Here's what I'm praying for. Well, matter of fact, let's just pray for it. Lord God, we come to you with an open mind, but also an open heart, but also an open spirit. We pray, oh Lord, that you would teach our mind, and then that you also motivate our hearts, and you would fill our souls with your presence in every case, so that we would have the mind of Christ and the desires of Christ. And Lord, we would be open to receive the fullness of Christ, that our whole actions and life and body would live it out. Lord, let it be so, and particularly as you call us to children's ministry. I know that you value us just for who we are and not just what we do, but for some reason you have called us to one of the highest positions in the church, to shepherd and lead children and lead staff leading children. Lord, it's bigger than we can do, so we pray that you would do it. We trust you for it. We lean into you for this. So, Lord, and may you build us up this day with something new that we need to learn. In Jesus' name. Okay. Transforming yesterday's Sunday school into today's disciple-making experiences. I'd like to talk about what's changing in children's ministry. Now, the question in children's ministry today is really not what is your curriculum. It is what is your delivery system. And delivery system tells us the setting in which children are learning. And we've seen several different shifts in that. And it's going to start making sense when I talk about what those systems are. The traditional is called self-contained classroom. One teacher does it all. And this is also largely due to architecture, because we had the educational portion, which either had the classrooms built into it or the partitions to it. And it modeled itself after what? The local school. I find it surprising in different countries, like in maybe in India, their Sunday school settings and Christian churches are modeled after the local school, which is primarily a British educational model. And I've never seen kids sit in so many straight lines for so long and do such a good job with rote repetition. It's a way to learn. But in today's world, particularly the global world that's changing, kids are asking for something much more experiential. So, a self-contained classroom is great in that it obviously is a model that people are well familiar with. It can be very relational. It does not ask the question, how many kids are in the room? Because you can have 15 kids in the room and one teacher, right? That's success. But small group dynamics change significantly once you have over an 8-to-1 ratio or a 10-to-1 ratio. Now, if you have 15 2-year-olds, run away, run away. They sure are. And then you'll have a teacher and an assistant, and the emphasis is on information and information departation. So largely kids do a good job in Sunday school by sitting there and listening, because sometimes it comes down to that. We really want it to be more than that. Or maybe giving, I don't want to be facetious about it, you know, but give them another coloring page. Another model is, by the way, and I'm sorry, there's nothing wrong with coloring pages. I prefer to use them with the kids going home. I think it's a better way to use it. But there's also stations that might work on certain. But if they're talking about it, that's the issue. How many people here use self-contained classroom? That is, now I'm going to size that up and say that's 38%. No, that's 34%. Excuse me, I miscalculated there. You're already saying he's so full of crap. It's true. Ask my wife. Okay, she is, never mind. Don't ask her. She is here. There's another system, and this has been on the rise, while actually self-contained classroom has been on the decline in North America. And this is the large group, small group rotation model. There are different versions of it. Our version is a small group, large group, small group model, and some other versions use that. I think we might have been at the very front end of that. Actually, Willow Creek was there in that probably in the, about when we were about mid-90s. And here's the point. Educationally, there is that transition time when kids come into the room or come into the learning experience. We want to get everything we can out of the time they're going to spend with us. So let's use that front-end time for learning readiness. How do we tickle the need? How do we get them ready for the rest of the learning experience? How do we build relationships during that time? How do we engage them? How do we captivate their attention? How do we even say, wow, I'm glad I'm here? How do we raise the expectation? We want to do that in that small group for 15 minutes before we go on to a large group experience. And the large group experience is primarily where it's taught, and then it goes to the small group, and that is the place where the kids then talk about it in our setting with their Bibles open, no other sheets, other than their kinds of activities that they're going to use to engage the lesson, because they might be doing some things in that group that captivate their attention and help them draw that application out. But the small group is a discussion and discovery as they're reading it in the Bible, asking themselves the question of what does the Bible say, what does it mean, and what does it mean to me? That's inductive Bible study technique, observation, interpretation, application questions. And in the lower ages, just so you can kind of get an idea how our system put it together, and this may be helpful, not if you use our system or not, but just a different way of thinking, because space issues are hugely important in children's ministry. And we oftentimes design our ministry based on space issues. We have to, but we also need to think outside the box. And here's what we discovered in space issues. The best way to warm up a 4- and 5-year-old, we found, as far as that place where they come into, is if they come into our room before the hours, as they start trickling in and their parents drop them off, they drop them off to a supervised group that is in the middle of singing. Its energy is happening. And they are safe there. There's someone to receive the parent. And here they are. They're included. And even guests feel, oh, this is cool. I can hang here. While the rest of the shepherds of that age group were taking time to pray together, so they have their kind of meeting time and prayer time. And then after that singing time, when they come in, right at the top of the hour, that's when their large group happens. And the learning readiness happens as the puppet identifies the need for them. And then the Bible tell happens. They need to know the Bible tell right away, because they're going to be rehearsing the facts of the Bible. They don't have quite as much to process in their life about. They need to make sure that they remember the facts of the Bible, and then it seeps into their life. So the Bible tell happens, creatively involving them in a presentation of the Bible, and then they go to their small groups. And in that ages, a game, a craft, a snack. Boom, boom, boom. And then they go back to large group for a wrap-up, because they need to teach the puppet the take-home point. Now, the reason this is significant to rooms is because we only have so many large group spaces. And if you have a large group space like this, you could start in 4- and 5-year-olds, and they come in and they do their singing, they're kind of warming up there, and they do their large group, out they go. And now the grades 1 through 4 have finished their warm-up. They're coming in for large group. And after their singing and Bible event of 20 minutes, out they go. Now the small group, preschool kids come back in for their wrap-up. So you see how you've used the space? You've moved the kids, and actually kids kind of like moving around. Kind of keeps them engaged. And as long as you got something good for them, they're eager to get back to where they are. So that's part of why we call it rotation. This is not a rotation model, but it is a small group, large group rotation. The workshop rotation is a pure rotation model, and that's when you have a room like this and you've got over here we're doing a leather craft, over here we're doing a painting project, over here we're doing a Bible tell, over here we're doing a snack. And you're going to come in, you're going to move around on the same Bible event around the room, and you may be on the same Bible event for 4 weeks because it takes a while for you to move. How many people have ever worked in or currently have a workshop rotation? Take your hats off, because that's one of the real challenging ones. Right now, the biggest challenge in the workshop rotation, maybe you found this, first of all, is finding good curriculum and resources, because oftentimes it's written individually. But there are some great resources out there now in the last 10 years. But it can be very engaging for kids. And it takes the right kind of creative people in each one of those sessions to have. And the challenge is also putting your scope and sequence together so that you cover the Bible through enough, because that's another one of the challenges. And as children's ministry leaders, you're responsible for this one. This is pretty important. You want to make sure you know clearly what your kids want, what you want to see happen with them by the time they're out of your ministry. There's only so many weeks you can do Jonah. All right? And are you pursuing biblical literacy? Is that an important value? What about their time to process their own faith relationship? What do you do with the topic of conversion? What about new kids? Those are the big picture questions those of you that are in leadership God's given you charge over. And that's why you look at these kinds of settings through those lenses, okay? Video-driven large group, small group, does anyone use this? Here. I'm really surprised in Canada there's not as many using this. Do you use a Kidmo?
Yeah.
Okay. And how long have you used Kidmo? June? Good. How's it working for you? Too much of a swing, ages 6 through 12.
Yeah, so we kind of split them up for the kids up, and they're in there all the time. Maybe they don't need
attention more. Okay, I was late to the microphone. We switched the kids. Now we divided them. And by the way, this is a critically important question. It's a sociological question behind kids, and it's as important as what setting or what delivery system. And it's this. It works this way. If you have a group of kids together in North America, and you have got a first grader there and a fifth grader there, what's the fifth grader saying?
I'm bored.
I'm bored. I don't care what you're doing.
Totally.
I'm bored and I'm not a baby. Why do you have me there? Come on.
Yeah.
And I understand. Now, you put that first grader there with a three-year-old, four-year-old? Uh-oh. We have the same kind of thing going on. Hey, wait, I can read. You know, I made it. So we have to be very careful in how we group kids and how we aim our experience, because do you want to aim high or low? Aim high. And gender, aim at the boys. You win the boys, you win the day. You're going to get the girls anyway. That's true. And in the church, that's true too. Yes. That is excellent, and let me put it on the tape, because that works. Because fifth and sixth graders are being honored.
Yeah.
And in this system, the fifth and sixth graders have the honorable position of serving. You finally made it.
Yeah.
You're in the sound booth. And you've been on the puppet training team, and you're doing puppets. You're doing the Bible read for two-year-olds. You know, so, and especially when you do that seasonal, so they get their time too. You know, so you've described that you do a rotation, you know, so there's a certain season where the fifth, sixth graders, they go in and serve. That's beautiful. Thank you. And by the way, the intergenerational model has some advantages to this, particularly in open learning experiences, because if you are doing some activity things that you say right away, we've got all different ages and we're on an adventure. And in this adventure, I'm going to need you fourth and fifth graders to have you're going to have a special partner here, because you have to help these first and second graders. And this is what we're doing. Now that works much better when you're doing than when you're talking. Okay? All right, so these are the different questions that we have. The video-driven large group, small group is a video, very engaging video, and you have a large front presenter, and then they go into the small group. How long is your small group last, and how long does the video last?
Activities in between where they're discussing.
They split up and kind of come back.
Yeah.
So, and that's getting really close to, by the way, what's called large group kids church form, and that's when you have a large group and you do those kind of break-ins, breakouts. The advantage of this is fewer volunteers are needed. Yeah, so because one person can do it, and because you can run a lot of stuff. Now, there is a difference, though, between doing a small group ministry in which you have the same shepherd every week. And in that case, you do not want to take too much time doing the large group. It's got to teach it, it's got to do it well. And I still believe it should be audience participatory. And the whole trend in storying and storytelling and Bible tells in creative, fun, bonkers ways are great. But they should tell the Bible.
Yeah.
Now, the real learning happens when the kids apply it. And we have a chance to do this. We found a secret. This is amazing. You guys will never believe it. If I tell you, will you promise it? You can tell your own church, but don't tell anyone else, okay? All right, here's the secret. The church is just discovering. And if we figure out how to market this, we can make $1 billion. It's the skill of listening. I don't know if we've ever tried that before. Yes, sir. It was there. It was hanging out there. You had to reach for it. All right. It is listening, because how often do we stop to give time for kids to talk and for us to listen? That means they really matter. And that is how lives are changed. Folks, that's how our lives are changed. Don't we want to be in a place where we're valued enough to be listened to? Well, let's do it for our kids. And as a matter of fact, in our system, in any way, from very young on, we teach kids, we try to slow down at a certain part of our lessons because they're really high energy, but at the end, we dim the lights in the room and then we say, okay, it's time to stop and let's just listen. What is God saying to you today? Let's talk to God. Let the kids pray. Now, that's not hard, but that's very biblical. All right. I'm going to go through this pretty quickly, because here's some shifts, and this is just some of the trends that we've seen. It doesn't mean that one is necessarily bad or one's good. It's just a little bit different. Yesterday's Sunday school, one teacher does it all. Components of an emerging style is there's more specialized roles. When I ask someone, would you like to volunteer for children's ministry, they say, no, I'm not a teacher. I say, fantastic, I'm not looking for teachers. I want a shepherd. I want someone who can have fun with kids and relate to them and help them discover the Bible. We're going to give you some amazing things to do with you. And that's why you go in our system, you'll find 40% men. You know, so, because guys will do. They don't need to talk at the kids. Give them some interesting things to do with kids so kids can learn. And they can have fun with them. Okay. That's what I said. Yesterday we recruited teachers. Today we enlist shepherds. Yesterday we used to rely on the teacher's creativity. That one gal could always bring it every week. She had every kind of prop with her in the world. And someone else was going, sheepers, what am I doing? It's kind of more animals. So, but what we want to do is we want to provide creativity for our shepherds, so that, and that's in all of our leadership. That's what you want to be looking for. Help them have the best experience possible. Used to be Sunday school openings, and now the emerging style is large group presentations. So we value our time in such a way that maybe the most important thing is not collectively recognizing everybody's birthday who's there. It might be better to recognize that birthday in the small group, because we only have so much time. And also we have sometimes, let's take everything that we do and put it under the microscope of how's it doing for spiritual formation, for discipleship in that kid, and it's a top quality. If it's not, let's jettison it. Used to be we had a lot more workbooks and leaflets, and today it's Bible and active learning supplies, and the kind of supplies that you can find in your kitchen or Walmart. Narrow scope and sequence in yesterday years, and that's because we would sometimes say all kids need to be in the same lesson. Why did we do that? We did that because we thought that we were helping them better talk about God in their homes, because they could all share about the same lesson. Did it help them better talk about God in their homes? Unfortunately, it did not. But it did do this. It narrowed our scope and sequence, because it kept it to what's appropriate for a four-year-old. So we missed some of the real good Old Testament Bible stories, some of the PG-13 that we can bump down a little bit to PG-10. And the guy said, they did what? Put a stake through the head? You're kidding. Now, sorry. We put that as an option on that Bible story. If you have boys and you actually want to read that part of the Bible, you can, because they really get into it. Yesterday, the Sunday school was for the children of the church. Folks, today, our children's ministry is not for the children of the church. Our children's ministry has got to be for the children who don't know Christ. And whatever it takes for us to get to them, we need to do. And that is a shift you need to help your whole church see. Who's the best people to reach those kids out there? Your kids. And that's why your kids should want to bring their friends on an overnight on Saturday night, so their kids can go to church the next day with them. And your kids have got to want to bring them. And there's something free online that I strongly suggest, particularly you youth guys. You've got to get a hold of this one. It's listed there. It's the Build It Yourself section that we have. You go to Kids Count Publishing, and we have videos and video channel, and you go to the Build It Yourself. You'll have to piece it all together, or you can order it. It's a whole DVD with all the plans, but I think it's all available if you... And it's called the Poof Cannon, and what it does is it with the ping pong shooter, it'll shoot, I think it's like 29 ping pong balls in like 7 seconds. It can get to the very back of the worship center. You adjust the height on it. You can just lob them to four-year-olds right out here. You can blast them out there. You can shoot toilet paper terminator. And what it does, it just creates massive excitement. But what you do is you redeem the excitement. We call it hoopla. And you redeem it for something that's really important, because everyone gets charged up. So on our ping pong balls, we have blue ones and green ones. Blue ones are for bringers, greens are for guests. And we write the names of the kids that are on there. And then we spray it through the audience when it's time. We only have 4 minutes to do it. And we say it this way. It's time for We Prize Friends. Who's the best friend anyone could ever have? Come on, kids. Who's the best friend anyone could ever have?
Jesus.
Why? Because Jesus gave his life for his friends. Because Jesus prizes friends, what do? We prize friends. Ping pong balls get bounced off the ceiling. They pick them up. They throw them in. And then there's names. The blue ones have the bringer's name. The green ones have the guest. And then there's just other thrown in there. Then we pick them out of the hoop that they throw them in, that little big old hula hoop net. They throw them back. And everyone who brought someone, or everyone who is a guest, they get a prize in the prize room afterwards. But we will pull out a blue one for a special prize just happens to be special prize, special big prize. It's not really that much bigger, but it's a big deal. But we, then at the end of 3 months, we'll take all those blue ping pong balls and we'll put them in a hopper. We'll shoot them out whichever way, and we peel out one name. We give that kid a bike. Whoa. Why is so important to bring your friends? Is it bribery? No, bribery is when you do something, you try to bribe someone for doing something bad. This is saying this is good, this is a reward. Right? Hey, 20 new guests a weekend. It works. Now, we also talk about, it's not just about this. So that's why the little girl who won it, she gave it to the Open Door Mission for a kid that didn't have a bike, because that is the heart we're trying to change. We always talk about that in the groups. So it's not just changing outward behavior. But we are saying it's a chance for us to talk about the heart and how important it is, why we do Hoopla. Anyway. Components of yesterday: passive, sit still, be quiet, that's good behavior. Active, hey kid, I want you to play with this mousetrap. I better get to some of these lessons, so I'm going to have to... Okay, yesterday, what's the right answer? Today is how does this apply, it's more than knowledge. Yesterday, in our system, here's what I... When I became a children's pastor, I started buying children's ministry curriculum and realized, you know, 2 years later, I'm buying this stuff, and they gave me different packages, different covers, but it's stuff that's 2 years old, same stuff. I got ripped off. So when we ended up developing our own, we said it's all going to be online, and once you buy it, then you can always do it again and invest your money on building your program and changing your facility and buying better equipment instead of buying new curriculum. Get better at doing it. So that's kind of our philosophy. I'm not sure where you are on yours, but that's one of the things that we do. And so, what are the principles behind effective discipleship experiences? I'm going to give you some things here. Discipleship best happens in relationships. I know it happens through the power of the Holy Spirit working in His Word, but how is that most often delivered? It's through relationships. Who do you remember in your Sunday school teaching years? Do you remember exactly what they said, or do you remember the teacher? Do you remember the teacher? It's all about that kind of relationship. So how do you build those kinds of relationships? I'm going to show you a sample here of what we do as far as the I did have sorry that I've got to go all the way to this for it because it did not, I've had a lot of technical challenges, but this would be grades 1 through 4 sample lesson.
Get ready for Jacob's class, grades 1 through 4.
If you could be the greatest at anything, what would it be?
Thank you.
Okay. Relationships. Did you see relationships happening there that were kind of engaging? Because we're talking about, and there's usually an attention grabber, and I kind of give you some more that kind of, but it's going to weave all the way through. And on your handouts, do you have a back page that talks about emotions?
Yes.
Good. Do you see, because I'm not going to refer to that again, but as you think about your own ministry and you think about how you want to make your lessons come alive, always ask yourself, what's the emotion behind it? Because once we connect with the emotions, we really connect in the fabric of a person's heart in a whole different way. Because when that emotion is stirred again, they have a place to apply it. Let me go through some of those. For example, touch the heart. Let's connect with those feelings. In that one, we talked about a little bit about pride or tickle the need. This would be a sample of a lesson when you get there. Hey guys, I'm glad to see you again. Guess what? It's Reese Peanut Butter Cup Day.
Chocolate.
Cool. So you got it. Hey, tell me something that was great that happened about your week as you get this chocolate. Now, tell me this. Fantastic. So we're talking about that? Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4. But one person didn't get it. And it's Ruth, right? I'm sorry. Because Ruth I never had a little girl in my house, and you just, if I had one, oh, I wish it would have been you. You're just my favorite. These guys are being well-behaved right now, because they're right now literally saying, rip off, not fair. Well, wait a minute, let's talk about that. Have you ever been in a time where you felt left out, or there was favors? Let's talk about it. Did it ever happen at school? Yeah, yeah. So are they talking about it? Did it ever happen at home? Yeah, yeah. Hey, guess what we're talking about today? We're talking about jealousy. Jealousy jails us. And, you know, we have the story that's starting. We've been talking about Isaac and Jacob. Guess what? There were favorites in his family. And now he had favorites, and that favorite is called Joseph. See how it sets up the lesson? All right. Let's move along. By the way, enjoy your chocolate. You guys are saying not fair. All right. All right, now that's touching the heart. Let's connect with feelings and let's tickle the need. By the way, that is the role that we always use for puppets. If you use puppets in your ministry, I strongly encourage you to do this. Do not have puppets teach. Have them identify. So if you have 4 and 5-year-olds, let the puppet be a 5-year-old, unless it's a character. We'll talk about that in a minute. Or a third grader for grades 1 through 4. After grades 4, you probably don't want to have puppets unless they are helping the puppets, because 5th and 6th graders do not want to be treated like kids because they are now too cool for school. But they can always identify with the need, and they can do that with their own display of emotions or their own dilemma. Now let's talk about how do we open the soul. We open the soul, and what we really want to get to, the real heart of it, is not just having a good time. We want to get to the point of it, and the point of it is always going to be what changes lives is Jesus. And if we're not talking about Jesus regularly, even in the Old Testament, we are voiding out the power that God gives us to change lives. because we do not change our lives simply by trying harder to be good. We change our lives by giving them up to Jesus, who is good for us in our place, so that we could be like him and filled with that power. Let me give you an example of the Old Testament using Jesus. This would be a typical kind of lesson, and I won't tell you what it's about. Let me guess. Now, this is a mouse trap, and it's ready and loaded like that when the kids come in. And you say, kids, I don't want you to touch it with your fingers, but guess what? I got this pencil here with an eraser. And, Ron. Ron, would you please see if you can do this? Here's your trick. We're all going to get a chance to try. You've got to see if you can trip the trap and get away without getting caught. So don't let that trip catch your eraser. Barely. Oh, no, everyone's got to see it. You got to barely touch it like this. No. And then pull away. All right. Wow. Who else wants to try? By the way, I saw this happen once because it does kind of startle you. And it's third grade boy. He went like this. His name's all of his own. Oh, bam. And it jumps up and just... walks right out of the room. Okay. He got trapped. Did you ever try anything? Did you ever do anything wrong that you hid and you hoped no one would find out about? But someone did. Trapped. Let me tell you what happened to me when I was in third grade. And the shepherd tells a story.
No way.
I got one. You see how the kids can talk about that then? Now in this lesson, by the way, you want to take a guess who it is? Who got trapped by sin? Trapped by sin in the Old Testament. A lot of them. All of us. Yeah, now you're just guessing, obviously. But it was David. And it's a good way to introduce David and Bathsheba. And the way we do that one, too, is we talk about the trapper in the costume character to come in to tell the Bible event is done like this.
That's right, I am the trapper. And I trapped David. It was so easy, really. I said, David, come look over this wall. See that beautiful girl? Oh, she's taking a bath. Oh, no, you don't need to look away. Look again. She's not your wife, but... that doesn't matter.
You see what's happening? It's kind of spooky, isn't it? Yeah. Well, you may not overdo it. You do it the way you do it. But I love that one because at the end, the presenter comes out and goes, well, Mr. Trapper, you think you won?
I trapped David, yes.
And the trapper, of course, is the enemy, Satan himself. He'll tell us how the story ended. Trapper says, I don't want to talk about it. Tell us.
No, I don't want to talk about it.
Well, I'll tell you, because Nathan the prophet came to David and said, God knows what you did, and you need to repent and turn back to him, and God can redeem you from your sin. He can take away your sin, even though there's consequences. And that's what he did, and he freed you from your sin. And then we read from Psalm 51, and that's one of the things. Now, when they go back to their group and they read that, by the way, their snack for the day, this is cheese crackers. Right? Let's reinforce everything on it. Now, that's why in the trends in ministry, it's not one person doing it all. Because if one person had to gather that for their class, they'd eventually just collapse from exhaustion. That's why you find someone who loves to gather stuff. And they gather stuff for everybody. So, At the end of that, they're back with their trap. And I'm going to have to do this so that you can see. Ron, would you come up, please, and hold the microphone for me? And if you'll stand right there. This pencil is you. How do you escape the trap where you don't get caught? Actually, it will balance, but maybe not the way I'm holding the book now. Now it's going to... Okay, it's balancing. I'm trying to show you. Balance. Right there. Oh. It's balanced right there. And then you take you and you just press down on the other one and it trips the trap. Who is caught? The pencil that was in your place. Does that remind us of? Jesus, our punishment on himself. And we need to always be pointing. All right. Principle number 5. Give kids time to respond. You know, they live in a fast-paced world. And in our situation, our lessons move at a pretty steady clip. But they need to slow down and consider what God is saying to them. And I talked about that briefly. But again, the phrase is, what are you hearing God say to you today? One of our experiences, just so you can raise your expectations for what kids can do. In our 5th, 6th grade, which we, by the way, divide 5th and 6th, put them together, because many groups will just, and in Canada, I believe your 6th grades usually are with in the schools. Are they with the 7th graders? Some are. Well, here's what we found. It's a very important age group. And if I group sixth graders up with seventh graders and up, if it depends on how many kids you have overall, it's kind of kids are growing older, younger. Too much of a push. But yet, they have a hard time if they're younger, that they want to be special. So we take them as a very special group, 5th, 6th, and we make it a great experience. We also spiritually challenge them. And in one of our lessons is Prayer Walk Mall. So we take them through the Lord's Prayer in 6 weeks or something. And at that, they practice and learning their prayers. And at the culmination of it, their challenge is, as a group, to take 50 minutes in prayer out loud. 5th and 6th graders. Can they do it? Over half of our groups make it 50 minutes praying out loud. Because they go through the pattern of the Prayer Walk Mall. So, my point is, let's help kids learn to pray. And not just go through it. Speak it out loud. The next point is let's use point 6. Repeat one main point. This is especially important in all levels, but in preschool ages, learning is largely by repetition, and this is a great way to use your puppets. At the end of every lesson, we'll have the kids teach the puppet the take-home point. The take-home point usually has the person speaking, new puppet. Okay. And we study humor at different age groups, even 2-year-old humor, because they have puppets too. And what is funny to a 2-year-old? It's an interesting little conversation. Of course, puppets are also terrifying to some, so we have a debriefing for those with puppet phobia, and they're out there, so we just honor puppet phobia and help them work through it. This is Albie. Of course, Albie comes out. And the lesson for today, give me a lesson from the Bible. What Bible event? Give me one. David and Goliath. And our take-home point today was God is with us. God protects us. And today, boys and girls, remember what we did? We had a game in which we were using our slings and we were throwing these pieces of paper and we were remembering this. God is with us. God protects us. Okay, Albie, did you get it?
Yeah, I got it.
All right. God is with us.
Don't put crackers in your ears. What are you talking about?
You don't think that's funny. Five-year-olds think that's hilarious. Don't put crackers in your ears. It has nothing to do with the lesson. Okay, well, Albie, the next thing that we did is that we did this cool craft of which we made this little pouch for these five stones that we took home with us. We're going to share and talk to people because it's important that other people know that God is with us. God is with us.
God protects us.
Okay, Albie, you think you got it?
Yeah.
God is with us.
Don't put stones in your ears.
You guys still don't think that's funny. If you ever use the word underwear, they really think that's funny. Don't wear underwear on your hair. Now you've lost them. They've just checked it out, you know. So then you also do the game, the craft, the snack. And then finally, Albie, do you finally have it? Yeah, so the kids are teaching them, right? And they're repeating it. So, finally, Albie, do you have it?
Me. God is with us. God protects us.
Yay! You get it? It's easy. No, and see, that is really easy. And what you want to do is do that in ways that people can do that. And you guys that are on staff, the most important thing you can do is help other people raise their game up. And they're not going to do it as good as you. Fine. Sometimes you shouldn't do it for a while just to give them confidence. And sometimes that you're up there, if you're going to do large group, it's a nice way to develop relationships. But, man, you need to raise up leaders and let them do that. That is repeating one main point. That's an important part. We want to also help them discover the Bible. I talked about the inductive Bible study techniques. I'm going to let you fill in the blanks with the rest of these. I'm just going to tell you what they are. Principle number 8, use multiple senses. 5% of what we hear, we remember. 25% of what we see and hear. 40% of what we act out. 80% of what we directly experience. And I really, yes.
That was number 7.
Did I not say it? Oh. Teach how to discover the Bible. I did not say it. Thank you for calling that to my attention. Because the idea is discovery. We want to give them skills so that they'll learn to discover the Bible for themselves, not just expect to be taught. Principle number 8, involve kids in doing activities that reinforce God's truth. Make your take-homes as much as possible have outreach implications so that they have something that they can share with a neighbor. You are training them to be witnesses in all, and they are courageous about it. And they will do it. So we really value that. Case in point, here's the friendship bracelet. It's used in several or different evangelistic tools are used as culminations in many of our lessons. But you've seen this. It's the wordless Bible, and each dot has, or each color signifies part of the story in the salvation story. And as the kids wear this, or we also have the woven braid one, if anyone asks them what it's about, they are ask them to take it off and give it to that person and say it's a friendship bracelet. If anyone asks me, I've got to give it to you. There you go. By the way, you want to know what the colors mean? And that's what happens there. Then we are are we at number 9? or a number 10? Oh, number 9 is involve kids in doing activities that reinforce God's truth. Tell me I'll forget, show me I may remember, involve me and I'll understand. Finally, Principle 10 is being equipped to serve. Every lesson, I believe, needs to lead to application, a kind of an aha. Even something like this. This is a craft from 5th and 6th grade. And this is as they learned the 10 Commandments. If you're going to do a craft for those ages, make sure to be something that they actually would put in their room. But you have to watch crafts. They are gender biased. All right? So you also have to have versions that are cool enough for guys. And you can't have it all the time. But what's that?
Just take them outside and wrestle.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it works. Yeah. If you have more questions, I'd be happy to answer. And any other resources, you can check the free training resources we have on our website or other free resources. Even you might even check if you're liking to want to paint your children's ministry area. We have all sorts of ways to stencil and paint or build Bible costumes. All that is free on our website. And our curriculum and samples of it are in the bookstore, Kingdom Quest. And I do have some brochures here and some sample DVDs. Kids Count Ministry has a booth opposite the bookstore with people that will answer questions, and I'll be there later today as well. So if you have any other questions, come talk to me. Let's close in prayer. Lord God, I pray a blessing over the wide, vast amount of influence that's happening here in this room with people that work with young people and the people who work with and coach people who work with young people. I pray a blessing, God. Send laborers into the harvest. Send them into the harvest. Let them send others into the harvest, and let the harvest be huge, life-impacting for the rest of long lives, beginning at the very young and tender ages you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.